Joe. One thing I gotta say, about 3 years ago, one of the most inspiring words that you gave me, Mommy, just shook me and just has set me on course. You told me once, you told me, don't be afraid to fail. And sometimes, you know, Mommy can speak to you. And those words will come with like a knife, but then they'll come with an embrace. And that word set me free. And I learned that I must never be afraid to love again. Hallelujah. Welcome, Mommy.
Praise God. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We lift up your name, Lord Jesus. There is no one like you, Lord. We worship you, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Why don't you just shut your eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, at the start of this new year, Lord, we submit our lives to you afresh. Father, have your way, I pray, in each one of us. Lord God, use me today as a vessel to speak the word that you have for each one. And just put your hands on your heart and let me lead you in prayer. Just say, Holy Spirit of truth, speak to my heart today. Set me up for the year. My heart is open. I receive your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together once again for the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Please take your seats. There is a lovely warm breeze exactly where I am. So if you're really cold, just come and sit here. I think the boiler broke down, didn't it? So it won't be this cold again. But you guys, how many of you remember the days at Burnt Oak when we used to have to wear fur coats the whole way through the message in the winter? How many come on? Yeah. And we would, honestly, you guys don't know how good you got it. It was freezing back then, and our wonderful caretaker, I think he just enjoyed seeing our suffering. So he would leave us as cold as possible for as long as possible. And so this is nothing, but it will be warmer next week. Sorry? You used to bring your heater to church, yes, and your hot water bottles and everything else, yes. Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. You know, a massive part of Jubilee, when you look at Jubilee, I was so blessed by our pastor's message last Sunday. There was something about that message, if you haven't yet heard it, please, please listen and then listen again. Because there's something about his ministry that even when he's teaching, there's a prophetic edge, which means there are things that are going to go off on the inside of you and set you up. There's something he said, one word linked to worship, that literally just, I started to fly. And that's part of his ministry. I used to sit there, when I first heard my husband preach, all those years ago when we were engaged, and I used to listen to my husband preach, and I'd sit there the whole way through going, what is he even on about? Like, could he just come slightly further down from heaven, a little nearer earth, so that simpletons like me could somehow get what he was talking about? And I would say to him, my love, you know, that used to be my feedback in those days. It used to be, is there any way that you could kind of somehow lower the doctrine? I don't know, it's hard to explain. It was just so prophetic that I'd be desperately trying to catch something. But he's much, you know, his growth in preaching was actually about becoming easier to grasp. And but there's something about the prophetic side of his ministry where you can catch something when you're not expecting to. And when he was talking about Jubilee last week, I got so many aspects of what God wants to do this year. Let me explain something about when a prophetic word comes. When God releases a word, it's up to us whether we lay hold of it and make it our own. We can either say, oh, well, that all sounds great and, you know, I don't believe a word of it. Or we can just say, well, last year it didn't happen for me. And so what's the point this year? Imagine if Abraham had done that. Oh, well, I got the word about having a son and that never happened. So why should I listen to the new word about multitudes? I mean, it's one thing, God, for you to say I'm going to be a father. To say I'm going to be a father of multitudes, the father thing didn't come to pass. Are you hearing me? You see, it's God's responsibility to speak. Say speak. It's our responsibility to believe. Say believe. And then it's God's responsibility to bring it to pass. And it's up to him when he does it. Do you know what? If you didn't expand in 2017, you can expand in the year of Jubilee. Are you hearing me? Do not discount when God increases the prophetic word just because the last one hasn't yet come to pass. It's a plan and a plot of the enemy to try and rob from us by making us somehow think that because something else hasn't yet quite made sense, that the next thing we're not even going to even take hold of. Are you hearing me? So, in the whole essence of Jubilee, there are lots of things. There's restoration. You know, you study it in Scripture. There's restoration. There is deliverance. If your boss is like a slave driver, then the year of Jubilee is when you get set free. Amen. You know, that is what Jubilee was. Slaves got set free. Are you hearing me? You know, and let's bring these things to pass by believing God early on rather than just figuring it towards the end. But there's so much in it. But contained within Jubilee is a massive area about finances. Debt cancellation. And prosperity. And I really believe that God wants to do something in this area. You know, when we have a debt, in some sense, it's almost like a noose around our necks. When we have a debt, then we're compelled to do certain things in order to pay those debts off. And, you know, if you have any form of debt, mortgage, anything, you know, I want to encourage you to believe God that this is the year that you will be debt free. We are believing that over our mortgage with our home, as well as over the mortgage here at the LTC. Amen. This is the year of debt cancellation. And you know, I love what the Bible says in Psalm 35, 27. It says, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure. Say pleasure. Think about that word pleasure for a minute. You know, pleasure is just, some translations use the word delight, that God delights. But pleasure is a wonderful word, isn't it? And in thy presence are pleasures forevermore. You know, God takes pleasure. He delights, the Bible says, in the prosperity of his servant. God wants you and I to prosper. You know, and what does this word prosper mean? You know, it basically means to succeed. And it's a really interesting word as well, the word prosperity and the word to prosper and the New Testament word for it, because it has this sense of journey to it. So it's about prospering in the journey, succeeding in the journey called life, succeeding in every single area of life. Well, God takes pleasure when you and I prosper. He delights in it. You know, I had to really get a load of religious mindsets out of me. You know, God used my husband when we first met and in the first few years of marriage, if I'm honest, it took a while for me to stop believing that somehow prosperity was dirty, because I grew up with such a religious mindset, you know, and I remember the day when things changed was the day when my husband said to me, what would you do? And he was my fiance at the time. He said, what would you do if you had £1 million? And I remember going, oh, wow. You know, and at the time I was at Bible college, and I remember sort of listing all these things that I would do with £1 million. And then he said, okay, great. Who would you rather has £1 million, a drug dealer or you? And I remember going, wow. And it was the beginning of a shift in my mindset. But you see, God doesn't just somehow turn a blind eye. You know, I really think that we so often have this religious mindset with prosperity, where we think that God somehow tolerates it, that he's okay with it. No, God delights in us succeeding. But he wants us to succeed the right way. I want us to look at 3 John 2. 3 John 2, please. It might have it on the system as 3 John 1, 2, but there is only one chapter in 3 John, therefore it's actually 3 John 2. And I want to look at that scripture because it says, beloved, I pray. Now remember, when you have a prayer in the Bible, and this is something that Pastor P often teaches, but when there's a prayer in the Bible, yes, it's the apostle who's writing that book praying, but it's the Holy Spirit praying through that person. Are you hearing me? What on earth is the AKJV? Another, that is not, please can we have the New King James? That must be some another, like Kamau says. Anyway, it doesn't say wish, yeah, pray. I've never seen wish before. Maybe every wish of Paul was just a prayer. That was John, actually. Maybe every wish of John. But beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Say all things. You know, God's desire is that you and I prosper in all things and that we be in health. You know, that we are well this year. You know, healing is awesome. Divine health is even better. You know, believe God for your health on a daily basis. Believe God. You know, if you hear others are catching things, immediately start to pray and believe God. Father, thank you for divine immunity. Are you hearing me? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just. Say just. Just as your soul prospers. This is a really interesting prayer. You see, what we catch here, a prayer expresses someone's heart. Is that right? You know, the things I'm praying for about my children, particularly. You know, we pray what we know we need to pray, but there's times when we just pray our hearts. And with my children in particular, when you hear my prayer, you always know what's on my heart about them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and my prayers just express that they're a sight to God about the desires of my heart concerning them. And this is God praying the desires of his heart concerning his children. Are you hearing? You know, there's a way that you pray for your children that's different. You know, you might not have children yet, but you're going to discover this one day. You know, when you pray for your children, there's just something that comes from deep down inside. Isn't that right, parents? You know what that's like. And, you know, this is the Holy Spirit praying for us. We are the children of God. And he's basically saying, this prayer is saying, Lord, I want them to prosper. But Lord, only to the proportion that their soul prospers. I love them too much for their prosperity to outgrow the prosperity of their soul. Are you hearing me? You know, imagine the pain and the sadness in the heart of God when he looked at his dear beloved son, Saul. in the Old Testament, who he picked out because he knew who Saul could become and he knew everything Saul could do. And then the sadness and grief and pain that then he would have felt because Saul prospered beyond his soul. Saul was promoted beyond the security of his soul. Saul excelled in riches beyond the prosperity of his soul. Saul was insecure. Saul was defensive. Saul got jealous. Saul's soul wasn't prospering. And you see, the heart of our God says, I want my children to prosper, but I don't want them to prosper beyond the prosperity of their hearts. And I don't think it's that God puts a ceiling on us, but I think he allows the ceilings that are already there to remain until he can do this work on the inside. Are you hearing me? You know, what is the soul? In the Greek, it's this word psyche, where we get the word psychology from. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. So God is saying over your life, God himself is praying over your life and desiring over your life that you will succeed to the extent that your mind, your will, and your emotions succeed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to just, have you got those slides ready? If we can just look very briefly at, I want you to understand, I want to unpack the mind, the will, and the emotions. Because when we start to realize God's heart about this, because we can say soul and we think, oh yes, I'm all well, you know, I worship God, I love him, I read the Bible, my soul is prospering. But you see, God looks into the depths of our innermost being. Psalm 64 verse 6 says that the inner thought and heart of man is deep. There is a depth. I want you to picture your heart like a vault. A huge, expansive vault. Imagine a vault, and behind that vault is rows and rows and rows of filing cabinets. And in each filing cabinet, there are loads of files and then folders within each one. And each one contains a thought, a memory, a sentiment, an emotion, all locked away in the vault that is your heart. That's how expansive the heart is. And I just want to, for a moment, break down the mind, the will, and the emotions, because I want to provoke you today to reach that place where you say on the inside, I will not stop my journey of transformation until I can say, God, my soul is prospering more than every area of your life. I'm more healthy on the inside than on the outside. So God, you need to come through for me. I want it to be that way round. But the honest truth is, for many, it's the other way round. And as a result, we're causing this almost, you know, imagine what goes on in heaven when he hears our prayers, Lord, do this for me, do that. And he's going, oh, I want to. But your soul. Joyce Meyer says, for every 3 steps forward, stop and do a heart check. I do this all the time, so regularly. Anything that goes on the inside that doesn't add up, I go into the presence of God and say, if all is well, then why am I reacting like this? The mind. So, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Say all things again. And be in health to the extent that, let's have a look. Your thoughts, your imagination, your reason, your memory, your motives. Motives are almost like a mix between your mind and your emotions and your will, actually, but they're in there. You know, God wants us to prosper to the extent that our thoughts prosper, that our imagination is used for godly purposes. You know, that our memory is no longer like a gun to our heads. What do I mean by that? You know, I don't know who it was who first shared this analogy at a Harvest Men's Encounter, but I've used it again and again since. But somebody once said at a men's encounter, and my husband told me, and said that, like, what the enemy does with memories, those memories that just we feel ashamed of, those memories that make us squirm on the inside, those memories that make us want to pretend it never happened. You know, it's like the enemy has this loaded gun, and each memory is a bullet. And the enemy is holding those bullets, that gun, full of those bullets to our head. You know, if you've been to Healed for Life, you've heard me say this again and again. Any memory that makes you squirm, any memory that you can't look at full front in the face and smile at, because of the transformation on the inside since, because you are the glory story that tells that memory that it has no power. Any memory that still makes you flinch is a memory that needs to be healed. How many times have you smelt a smell and it's brought you back somewhere? Someone's mentioned something in conversation and you're like, gosh, I'd forgotten that. And you find yourself going somewhere. You see, the heart is huge. It's vast. It's expansive. It's full. And God's heart and his desire is that we will prosper to the proportion that our souls prosper. You see, what we need to do with those memories is we need to take that gun from the enemy. We need to allow God to heal every single memory on the inside. Can I tell you, secrecy, privacy, I just don't see it in Scripture as a godly thing. Oh, well, I'm a very private person. I would say, go to God and say, Lord, if all is well, why do I feel this need to protect my privacy? Listen, I'm not talking about stupidity. We need to apply wisdom in lives. But if you feel this need to keep your life a big secret, you know, if you feel this need to keep yourself very contained and yourself to yourself, then if all is well, then why? Because Jesus didn't do that. Paul the Apostle didn't do that. King David didn't do that. My Bible heroes didn't get to hide their stuff. My Bible heroes had to allow their stuff to be seen by all the world so that others could be set free. Are you hearing me? You see, what we need to do with those memories is we take the gun off the enemy. We allow God to heal every single one of them. We place ourselves in places where we know we're going to get healed. And we take that gun, we fire those bullets up in the air, and then we hand back an empty gun to the devil and say, have all the fun you like with that. You've got nothing on me. Because he's able. Our thoughts, our imagination, our reason, our memory, our motives, our mind, our will. Let's look at will. You see, our will is our voluntary actions, our choices, the decisions that we make. You know, if you look at your life and your life is made up of lots of habits. And, you know, when you form a habit, you no longer need to make a choice, so it's a good thing to form a habit, because it's easier to have a habit than it is to constantly have to make a choice to do the right thing. I don't have to choose to run 3 times a week. I've been doing it now for 9 years, 9.5 years. So my gym things just wait for me on the floor when I wake up, whether it's raining, snowing, sunny, you know, Rora will tell you, nothing stops me running. I run. Because that's what I do. But it started out as a voluntary action, as a choice. And our souls, you know, you see, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we all have the same amount of willpower. There's been loads of research done into it. We all have the same amount of willpower. And we start off with the same amount of willpower every morning. And once it's gone, it's gone. So you just Google willpower and sort of see what the research is out there. But it's what we do with the amount of willpower we've got. Use it to form habits. That's a good use of your soul. That's a soul that prospers, one that is using your willpower to form the right habits so that your habits then form your life. Now I want us to look at emotions, our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, this is such an interesting area because what God is saying is he's saying, beloved, I pray. It's my heart's desire, you know, from heaven, that you succeed in all things, that you do well in relationships, that you find the right person if you're single and you marry and you have a blessed marriage, that everything goes well for you in your family, in your marriage, 20 years on, 30 years on, 40 years on, that you prosper in your work, in your ministry, in every area, as to the proportion that your soul prospers. You know, just some of the emotions that we experience: anger, loneliness, confusion, joy, jealousy, anxiety, frustration, sadness, insecurity, defensiveness, love. You know, some of these emotions are evidence that all is not well on the inside. You know, there are some emotions that we will always experience, and it's how we express them. But there are others that really are evidence that things aren't well on the inside. You know, anger is such a powerful one. Because you see, let me tell you, we see in Scripture, we see God being angry. We see Jesus being angry. We see various righteous people being angry, but we also see anger done the wrong way. We see Moses having an outburst of anger and it destroying him. He never, ever entered the promised land because he never dealt with this inability to control his emotions. You see, let me tell you the honest truth. A lot of the reason why people have outbursts is because the undealt with, pent up emotion on the inside, often it's been there for decades, has never been dealt with. And so stuff will happen, simmer, 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 and then one thing too many, outburst. And you see, this is where it's so important. If all is well, then why am I like this? You know, sometimes I have to ask God, Father, am I feeling this feeling right now because it's something you want me to understand and preach on? Or am I feeling this because it's something in me? Because God speaks to me often because I, you know, some people who have words of knowledge and they'll feel a pain in their right leg. And then they'll say someone in the meeting and then they'll get a pain in their left, you know, arm. And, you know, and God often reveals something to me by I will feel it. But I don't always know whether I'm feeling it because it's coming from me or because it's something the Holy Spirit is revealing to me. And something that happened yesterday, and I was like, God, what is this? This isn't like me. Anything was making me irritable. So just the smallest little things were just making me cross. And I just went into the presence of God and said, Father, if all is well, why am I like this? Because let me tell you, frustration, irritability, being easily provoked, that's not a prospering soul. That's not my norm. My norm is feeling just this peace and this joy that is remaining on the inside. So if things start to suddenly irritate me, there's something wrong. Are you hearing me? You know, God wants you and I to prosper to the proportion that our souls prosper. You know, if you still find yourself feeling jealous when others do well, it just makes you feel bad. Even in marriage, you know, if your spouse is with other people or, you know, and you easily get jealous there, if you get frustrated easily, If there's a sadness that still sits there somewhere beneath the surface, let me tell you, God is saying that all is not well on the inside. God wants us to reach this place where our emotions are functional. Even having too much emotion, being someone who cries all the time, that's not, if the crying is always to do with self, God wants to do a work on the inside. If we hardly ever cry, if we're quite contained and stilted, well, Lord, if all is well, why aren't I like you? You know, I want to really encourage you at the start of this year to make a decision. You know, we can never rest on what God did 2 years ago. We can't rest on what he did a year ago. We can't allow ourselves to stay with certain factors in our lives, whether it's secrecy and privacy, whether it's defensiveness, whether it's loneliness, whether it's sadness, whether you just get easily irritated or frustrated. Please, I want to ask you to make this decision. Or I am going to go to God and ask him to do a work on the inside. I am no longer going to just accept that the way I am is just the way I am. Because you see, beloved, God has an extraordinary plan for your life. He has amazing places that he wants to take you and things that he wants to do through you. You know, one of the other things I want to touch on before we finish this morning, you know, another symptom, you see, some of you may have seen my soul tree. I have a soul tree. I absolutely love it. And it started to fall apart and I need to get myself a new soul tree. But my soul tree, Godfrey knows my soul tree very well. It has fruits on the top and roots at the bottom. And it's just a really wonderful visual demonstration that you can't have fruits unless there are roots. And where there are fruits, there absolutely have to be roots. Are you hearing me? Let me give you a fruit as we close that says to me, there is a wounded root in the soul that needs healing. Drivenness. You know that sense of, I must succeed. I absolutely, in fact, funnily enough, you mentioned as you opened up about really what you were talking about is a fear of failure. What's a fear of failure rooted in? A fear of failure is really rooted in the fact that when we think success makes us a success. Shall I say that again? You see, if I believe that if I succeed, that must mean I'm a success, then if I don't succeed, that means I'm a failure. If I fail, I'm a failure. You see, if I fail, that doesn't make me a failure. Are you hearing me? Because I'm already, and by the way, this isn't just me, this is all of us. If you are made in the image of the Almighty God, who is the greatest, then you're already an outrageous success. Are you hearing me? And you see, when we really believe that, because all the wounds that happened that caused us to believe that I have to succeed in order to be enough, and I can't go into all these things, but, you know, if you really believe that success proves that I'm of value, then God wants to do a work on the inside of you. God wants to bring you to the roots of those issues and bring healing and restoration so that, you see, when you already know you're a success, then success becomes natural. It's just a fruit. Drivenness is rooted in a fear of failure. Drivenness comes from a place of when someone believes I need to succeed in order to believe I am adequate. I need to succeed in order to prove that I am enough. Saul. You look at the story of Saul, King Saul in Scripture. He was driven in the end. because he felt insecure, took on a new job, and then felt determined that he needed to prove that he was enough. I want to encourage you this year to allow God to do a greater work this year of Jubilee than he's ever done before. Do you know, when we stop, it's so sad. When we allow God to heal this thing over here or this thing over there, and then we stop, that is so sad to me. Because most people are carrying around, 99% of people are carrying around pains and hurts and disappointments. And then all these things in our lives that show through our thoughts and our emotions and our habits, they're just the symptoms that show that the roots are still there. Jeremiah twice in his book talked about the danger of being partially healed. I want to encourage you to be that man, to be that woman who says, I am going to pursue wholeness in my soul for the sake of my destiny, so that I may prosper in all things and be in health. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to ask you right now just to lift up your hands in the presence of God. Joe, if you could come and help me, that would be wonderful. And if God, I believe for many of you, God just touched on a nerve while I was ministering. Just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. It may have been frustration, irritability. It may have been outbursts of anger. It may have been memories that you know you still try not to look at. It may be drivenness or a fear of failure. But right now, if there's even one area where you've seen, gosh, there's a fruit that says my soul needs some work, just lift up both hands high in the presence of the Lord. And I want to lead you in prayer. Just pray that Rebecca prayer, Rebecca's request in Genesis, and just speak to the Lord quietly right now. If all is well, then why am I like this? Just ask the Lord to shine his light on the roots. Someone here, and that issue about secrecy is because there's some betrayal in your heart that's unhealed, where you got betrayed, your trust was broken, and you felt exposed, and that is still sitting in your soul like a wound, a wounded root. Just ask the Lord to shine his light into your heart and to start to heal. Thank you, Jesus. Father, take each one of us on a journey, especially the early part of this year, O Lord, that we may be those who have a whole soul, that we may be those who are sorted in so many areas where currently we see there is still a bit of a mess. Lord, do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, do what only you can do, and we'll give you all the glory and praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to encourage you. You know, if God has been shining his light and just speaking to you, we have a very small number of places left at our January Healed for Life, the 18th and 19th. We have a handful of spaces left. We've managed to rearrange rooms to create a bit more space, but there's literally about 5 or 6 rooms left now. And we have a Healed for Life refresher coming up on Saturday, the 10th of February, here at the LTC from 5 till 8. I just want to encourage you to do what you need to do for God to make you whole. God bless you.